Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Making a New Deal Industrial Workers in Chicago, 1919-1939 is a major work of American labor and urban history by Elizabeth Cohen. Originally published in 1990 and later reissued in Canto Classics with a new preface. The book studies how Chicago industrial workers moved from fragmented ethnic and neighborhood identities toward broader labor solidarity and New Deal-era political participation. Cohen focuses on the years between World War I and the Late Depression, using Chicago as a case study to explain how ordinary workers became CIO unionists and New Deal Democrats. The book is not a narrow institutional history of unions. Instead, it examines everyday life, consumer habits, community institutions, and political change together. Its central purpose is to show that industrial unionization and political realignment were shaped not only by strikes and leaders, but also by the changing social world of working-class neighborhoods, mass culture, and the collapse of older urban institutions during the Depression. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, everyday consumer choices as political behavior. One of the book's most distinctive arguments is that political identity was formed through ordinary daily decisions. Cohen shows that choices about where to shop, which entertainment to attend, and which neighborhood institutions to support were not neutral acts. In interwar Chicago, buying at a local store rather than a chain like A&P, or participating in ethnic benefit societies instead of mass entertainment, could signal allegiance to different social worlds. These habits mattered because they tied working-class people to institutions that either reinforced older ethnic loyalties or opened the way to wider class identification. The book therefore treats consumption as a form of social and political practice, not just an economic activity. This approach helps explain why labor politics could become meaningful to workers who were not initially organized in unions, by locating politics in ordinary life. Cohen demonstrates how broad political change depended on changes in daily routines and cultural expectations, not only on formal electoral or workplace mobilization. Secondly, the collapse of ethnic and neighborhood divisions in working-class Chicago. Cohen argues that Chicago workers were initially divided by ethnicity, religion, neighborhood, and occupational status, which made sustained collective action difficult. The book traces how those divisions were gradually weakened over the 1920s, and especially during the Great Depression. Older community institutions that had helped organize working-class life lost power as economic hardship deepened and urban life changed. At the same time, mass culture and new forms of communication exposed workers to experiences beyond their immediate ethnic enclaves. Cohen does not suggest that identities simply disappeared. Rather, she shows that the pressure of Depression-era crisis made older boundaries less politically useful. This weakening of community fragmentation was crucial because industrial unionism required workers to see themselves as part of a larger common interest. In the book's framework, unity did not arise automatically from shared exploitation. It had to be built by real social change that reduced the force of inherited divisions and made new solidarities more plausible. That makes the Chicago story a broader explanation of how class formation can happen in an urban democracy. Thirdly, the Great Depression as a turning point in working-class consciousness. The Depression is more than a background condition in the book. It is a decisive turning point in Cohen's explanation. As unemployment, insecurity, and institutional breakdown intensified in the 1930s, many workers became more receptive to new political ideas and collective strategies. The crisis exposed the limitations of older forms of neighborhood protection and individual adaptation. Institutions that had once mediated working-class life, such as local businesses, mutual aid networks, and ethnic societies, could no longer provide the same security. In that context, workers increasingly looked toward unions and the Democratic Party as vehicles for protection and influence. Cohen's analysis is careful not to present the Depression as mechanically producing radicalism. Instead, she shows how material crisis interacted with changing cultural conditions to create new forms of political understanding. That is why the book is influential in labor history. It links economic distress to changing consciousness without reducing one to the other. The Depression helped workers reinterpret their own lives and push them toward the kind of broad-based action that made CIO organizing and New Deal politics possible. Fourthly, from local community life to mass industrial unionism, the book's larger historical contribution is to explain how workers moved from local, often fragmented community life into large-scale industrial unionism. Cohen shows that industrial unionization was not simply imposed from above by national organizers. It became possible because workers were gradually prepared for it by shifts in their social world. As old neighborhood loyalties loosened and workers became more accustomed to larger cultural and political frameworks, they could imagine collective action across craft, ethnicity, and factory lines. This helps explain why the CIO found fertile ground in the mid-1930s. Cohen's argument also highlights that union power depended on cultural transformation as much as workplace militancy. The book presents industrial unionism as the product of a broader remaking of working class identity, not just a tactic for wage bargaining. That perspective makes the work especially important for readers interested in how social history and labor history intersect. It shows that successful union politics required shared identity, institutional alternatives, and a redefinition of what working people believed they had in common. Lastly, Chicago is a model for understanding New Deal political realignment. Although the book is rooted in one city, its implications are national. Cohen uses Chicago to explain how urban industrial workers became New Deal Democrats and supporters of industrial unionism, helping to reshape American politics in the 1930s. Chicago is a useful case because it was large, ethnically diverse, heavily industrial, and politically complicated. If broad political realignment could occur there, the mechanisms Cohen identifies may help explain similar changes elsewhere. The book therefore stands out as both a local history and a general interpretation of modern American political development. Rather than treating the New Deal as a top-down policy revolution, Cohen emphasizes the social foundations of its support among workers. This makes the book valuable for readers who want to understand how electoral politics, labor organization, and urban social life were connected. Its wider significance lies in showing that political coalitions are built through everyday social experience, especially when economic crisis disrupts older loyalties and creates room for new alliances. That makes the Chicago story a foundational account of New Deal-era working-class politics. In conclusion, Making a New Deal is essential reading for scholars and students of American history, labor history, urban studies, and the New Deal era. But it is also valuable for anyone interested in how ordinary people become political actors. Readers looking for a history of unions will find much more than workplace conflict. Cohen offers a richly argued account of consumer life, neighborhood culture, ethnic identity, and political change. The book is especially useful for understanding how class solidarity is created, not assumed, and how broad political shifts depend on changes in everyday social experience. What sets it apart from many labor histories is its unusually strong attention to culture and daily life, not just strikes, parties, and formal institutions. It is also distinctive for using one city to make a larger argument about American democracy and the rise of New Deal politics. The result is a classic study that helps explain why industrial unionism and New Deal liberalism took hold when they did, and why working class politics cannot be understood without the urban world that shaped it. If you would like to support Elizabeth Cohen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.